So help me welcome Ricardo.
Thank you and good afternoon. So today I'm going to talk about efficient, consistent and flexible Monte Carlo simulation of credit default. So let me very quickly introduce a simple model that we are considering here, which is in fact an integrated market and default risk model. We consider here a portfolio of defaultable securities, and we model the state of the credit environment, which is relevant for a given counterparty, as a combination of a systemic component, which is driven by market factors, and a specific component, which is counterparty specific. The other ingredients in the model are the default probabilities PD, the corresponding default indicator D, and then we model the losses for the integrated model as depending on, of course, the default indicator, the market value as, at horizon V, and our recovery value R. So we here we also assume, for simplicity, to have M realizations of the market part of the model already available. And then we are concerned with generating K sample for each some scenarios of the idiosyncratic returns to obtain a combined simulation size which is high enough to reflect the rare nature of default events. So in the end, it might look very, very simple, but in fact, we are concerned with simulating a matrix of M times K by J idiosyncratic returns. We can do this, of course, in a purely sequential manner. And this is what we do normally and what normal random number generators allow. But what if we want to do this in a parallel setup, or if we want to simulate directly a sub part of the portfolio, or if we want to do a very targeted simulation of given scenarios of interest like the tail of a distribution? If we want to do this, and if we want to do this in a reproducible way, meaning that we want to be consistent still with a full blown up simulation, we have to face a strong limitation with RNGs. So in fact, random number generators are intrinsically sequential. And this prevents typically playing around with them for these and similar cases. However, there exists a library, a C++ library called TRNG, which provides a family of so-called parallel-oriented RNGs. What is so special about these generators? Well, they can be manipulated very easily with what is called the jump and split operations. And this allows, for example, to just jump, advance the state of the internal state of the generator to the beginning of a given chunk of simulations. And as to generate just a chunk in a parallel setup. Or we can split, and this is very, very, very powerful, we can split the full sequence into subsequences and just consider those which are relevant for the sub-portfolio we want to simulate. Then jumping can be done in an arbitrarily complex way, and we can just jump arbitrarily to a given simulation, then yet another one if we want, for example, to do some insight, risk insight, and get more granular detail about the tail of a given distribution. What we have done is, in fact, make this library available to R with a package which we are developing and which we are hosting on our GitHub repo. Without much fantasy, the package is called RTRNG, and it relies heavily on RTVP, of course. We will present the package itself in a talk at the USAR conference in Brussels. So if you are around, I'll be happy to see you there. For this project, we have combined TRNG and RTRNG with RCPP and RCPP parallel into a simple yet very flexible simulation kernel. This is the very basic interface we have, which takes as inputs, of course, the matrices of realizations for the market part of the models, so the returns here. We have, in general, a sub-portfolio as an input and a subset MK of simulations that we want to simulate. The output will be a matrix of simulated losses for a given aggregation factor, which is also an input to the model. Let me go through a few examples to show the effectiveness of this approach. So we can do a full scale simulation, so full portfolio simulation, sorry, still using multi-threaded execution thanks to the TRNG generators. And we can do aggregation by rating to come up with a loss for each rating in the portfolio and compute, for example, the expected shortfall for the 1% tail for each rating. What we can do in a very consistent way and reproducible way is to simulate just the BBB portfolio, for example. So we just pass a portion of the portfolio to the simulator, and the simulator will produce the very same loss and the S99 as in the full simulation. We can then go one step further and say, okay, we want to focus on the BBB portfolio and get some risk insight. So what if we focus on the tail of the loss of the BBB portfolio and we simulate very granular? So we simulate each counterparties. We want to aggregate to have one output per each counterparty and compute in this in such a way the contribution to the ES99 of the BBB portfolio by each individual counterparty. By doing this, we can then select, for example, the top three counterparties, do again a targeted simulation for all the simulation and just a few counterparties, and compute a number of figures that might provide some insight in what drives the losses and the risk of this sub-portfolio. The same techniques can be used for what-if scenarios, so we can just play around with a sub portion of the portfolio, resimulate just that one, compute the delta, and with very little effort, recompute things and figures at sub-portfolio or even a full portfolio level. And this is very powerful, very consistent. It is very efficient because we never get to simulate again the whole portfolio. So I just leave you with a not so short summary, but what I want to mention again is that the code and the data is available on GitHub, and the package as well is there, so you can try it out. And if you are around at the user conference, you will know more about it. Thank you.
Okay, our next lightning speaker is up and on her way. So while she's coming, help me welcome, I'm just going to butcher it, I'll say Maesa. Maesa.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Maesa. I'm from University of Brasília, Brazil. And I will talk about my article, Machine Learning, the Analysis of Consumer Lending. According to Lin, there is no doubt that one of the main problems in finance involves the predict of default or bankruptcy. Usually, individuals take loans to meet their consumption needs. And while all lending is related to a risk, lending may result in a real and immediate loss. So, in face of the complex process to evaluate risk, it's necessary to use models and algorithms as artificial intelligence and machine learning. So, given that the end of my article is to evaluate the performance and compare machine learning techniques with respect to default risk on consumer loans. To do this, we use machine learning techniques to classify individuals into group of good or bad borrowers using a database of consumers' loans from a portfolio. The database is, we use a database of more than 100,000 consumers from a large Brazilian financial institution. The financial product corresponds a line of credit to individuals with no specific destination. There is a pre-approved limit, and the money is automatically made available in the client's account. The loan is associated with a fixed interest rate. 21 variables were investigated, such as income, past loans, savings amount, etc. This study explores a portfolio of loans with a high probability of default, which is unconventional. It's 48% of default. To classify borrowers, I use the following techniques: decision tree, support vector machine, random force, bagging, and the boost, the Ansible methods. To analyze the performance of the methods, the work discusses different metrics of adequacy of the classification, such as Hawk curve, sensitivity, specificity, and accuracy using R. Here's the accuracy of the techniques for the complete database. As you can see, the technique that presented the best accuracy was Adaboos with 64% accuracy. And to compare the techniques with machine learning, we use a logistic regression. It's possible to note the superiority of machine learning techniques. While the machine learning have an accuracy of 60%, the logistic regression presents accuracy of 54%. To verify the sensitivity of the proposed models in relation to the sample size, the models were reproduced in 14 samples from 100 until 10,000 observations. In general, from 1,000 observations, the random force, light blue line, presents the best accuracy. But other boosts also shows good results, the green line. This work is not finished, but we can conclude that machine learning techniques have a greater precision than traditional techniques, and the Ansible methods, random force, and other boosts have done better than the others. Now our next step is to use validation measures to compare the results, such as Bray's score, Kolmogorov-Smirnov statistics, CIER measure, among others, and verify that the results are statistically significant. After that, we analyze different costs of misclassification, because to classify bad borrowers as good is more expensive than the opposite. Thereby, our goal is to help financial institutions not to face so much loans, so much loss on loans. Thank you.